Christians to Worship and the Study of God's Word. This is today's Modern Worship on WMIE FM 91.5.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And here we go. Good morning to you, Brevard County. We pray that everything is going well in your life. Want to say happy anniversary to people, and they're having a 25th anniversary today, and I was just telling them about what God did for me on my parents' 25th anniversary, and that was I was waiting for a gift to be engraved, had prayed the night before, God, I need a job. I don't need it to, you know, in the near future. I need a job now because rent is coming up, and as a result of that, you know, they're going to want money. And so went to church Wednesday night, and a guy said, what can we pray for you about? Said, I need a job. And the next day, while I was waiting for my parents' gift to be engraved, a guy came running out of a shoe store and said, do you still need a job? I'd never been in that shoe store before. They just happened to know me. And that's how I got into the shoe industry. And God used soles and heels to feed my family for a number of years. And for that, I will always be grateful. So I want to say thank you today to the folks of Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. For nearly 50 years, they have been providing professional sales, services, and repairing air conditioners, heaters, as well as solving electrical problems. They work in residential and light commercial settings and even provide emergency service when necessary. Their name, once again, is Wyrick Air. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. Their phone number is 321-632-9538, 321-632-9538. If you're looking for it on Google or online, it's W-E-I-R-I-C-H Air in Rockledge, Florida. They travel all throughout Brevard County, so you don't have to worry about whether you're in their service area or not. They always strive to provide you with the best service possible and an affordable price. They take care of our AC at the church. They also take care of the AC at my house and have done electrical repairs in both places as well. If you think you might need their services in the future, the phone number you may want to write down is 321-632-9538. 321-632-9538. That's Wyrick Air. Dennis pastors a church here in Central Florida. And he brings a Christian work ethic to his business, as well as the way that he deals with people. And so we when asked for recommendations, point people to Wyrick Air most of the time. 321-632-9538 will be a blessing in your life. So today we are going to return to Luke chapter 11. Again, my name's Bob Arthurs, Pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and we value the Word of God, and that's why we are here. We exist to be a blessing. We are blessed by God to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to Him, a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to the church. We want to be a blessing to the community. We want to be a blessing spiritually and relationally and financially and through any other noble means that we can be a blessing. That is what we exist to do. Luke chapter 11, I'm not going to read the entire portion like we did. I believe it was on July the 5th, Friday, but we'll start reading the first four verses. And it says, now as it came to pass as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, that one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray as John also taught his disciples. So he said to them, when you pray, say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. And then in Matthew it says, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So that's where we are going to stop. So we have so far taught about Jesus is the one who teaches us to pray, because he is a man of prayer. He is a God of communication. And prayer could simply be defined as communication between God and human beings. And it is a two-way communication. It should not be a monologue where we do all of the talking and do none of the listening. We would be much better served doing more listening, because God already knows what we have need of before we even ask. Does that mean that we don't ask? No, we do ask. We'll see that later on in this chapter. But the fact that God is aware of our problems means that he has a solution. In fact, God's solution always pre-exists the problem. And so we talked about Jesus as the teacher, and that the disciples wanted to be taught. John the Baptist had taught his disciples. And so Jesus' initial response is, when you pray, say. And he begins to tell them this prayer. And I will tell you that it should not be a matter of if you pray. It should be a matter of when you pray. And I can tell you from experience, it's better to pray before the problem exists rather than waiting until after the problem exists. You can, by being in communication with God in advance, you can avoid many of the challenges of life. There was a foreign king at one point in time, and he had decided that he was going to launch an attack on Israel, and the prophet of Israel said, you need to be on your guard. This is where the enemy is going to attack you. And so they were there, they were positioned, and they were equipped, and they defeated the enemy. And the king came back, or the prophet came back the next year and said, the king that attacked you last year is going to attack you again this year. And he's going to attack you in a different place, because he doesn't understand my dominion. He doesn't understand that I'm God of the mountains and God of the valley. So you're going to find that he's going to attack you here. And the king was ready again to defend himself. And by now, the foreign king is very upset, and he said, which one of you is a traitor? Somebody in here is telling our battle plans, our strategies to the king of Israel, so that we're not experiencing any victory. And they said, it's not one of us. It's that there's a prophet in Israel who knows what we're going to do and is preparing the king for that. And so that particular prophet was a prophet by the name of Elisha. And Elisha gets up one morning. He's got a servant, and the servant gets up and sees that the city that they are living in is surrounded. And he says, we've got problems. And Elisha said, God, would you open his eyes to the spiritual reality that is at hand? And all of a sudden, the servant's his eyes. And when his eyes are opened to the spiritual perspective, he sees that the physical armies that are surrounding the city are surrounded spiritually by people who are there by angels who are there to protect Elisha, his servant, and the city. Those attacking forces got attacked with blindness, and they led them right to the presence of the king, and then the king you know, had to decide what to do with them. And, you know, once again, God showed that he had a solution before he had a problem. Hearing from God prepares you in advance for whatever the enemy may plan to do. A lot of people live their life reacting to the surprise attacks of the enemy. I've known people that anytime they got through a crisis, they didn't think they were ever going to go through another crisis again. I assure you, at some point in time, crises happen in your life. You need to know the one who solves crises, and his name is Jesus. He can prepare you for the enemy's attacks before those attacks ever happen. So, he says, when you pray, say. That brings us to the middle part of verse number 2. And it begins like this. Our Father in heaven. So Jesus here begins to address them in their lesson on prayer. And he passes on to them that his Father is our Father. That it is not, it's not about memorizing a prayer. It is about a relationship that we have with the Heavenly Father. And in this world that we live in, where there is a crisis of fatherhood, many times, people project upon God the shortcomings, the failings, the absenteeism of earthly fathers, and they project that upon God. I will tell you that that is just as flawed a concept as the mythological religions of the past, who created supernatural beings with human failures and shortcomings and personality defects and things like that. And they created a religion of superpowered individuals, but they didn't have any moral superiority to humanity. And so the first thing that we need to realize is that it's about relationship, and it's not the relationship of God the Father of Jesus. Jesus says you need to realize that he's your Father too. And so we're gonna look at, you know, this aspect of what is a father really look like. And so for Father's Day this last year, I preached a message on how is your appetite. How's your appetite? And that was because when I was studying and I was going through, I believe it was Psalm 84, and I was going through the lexicon on what the Hebrew word for soul was, that it had a description in there that the soul was the seat of the appetite. And so whatever we are craving indicates either the healthiness of our soul or the unhealthiness of our soul. And what we see in America right now and across the globe in an ever-increasing manner is that there's a crisis of fatherhood. And it may not be intentional that people are setting out to be bad fathers. It may just be that they didn't have good role models themselves, that they may actually be better than role models than what they had. We see the projection that of the music industry, the entertainment industry, and how it kind of focuses everything on the individual. It doesn't really pertain too much into what does it look like to be a godly influence on the next generation. And so a father, I will say this, is more than just a person who makes a donation that results in life, and then he gets to disappear off of the scene. That is not the relationship with the Heavenly Father that we are supposed to have. A father is one who has business, and his business is very important to him. So when Jesus is 12 years old and his earthly parents, Mary and Joseph, take him to the temple, they just assume that everything is going well, and they start looking around for him and come to find out he's not in the entourage traveling back. And so they hurry back to Jerusalem and they find him in the temple, and he is having discussions and answering questions and asking questions of the religious leadership, and his parents show up and say, "What are you doing?" And he said, "Did you not realize that I must be about my father's business?" So fathers are supposed to be very active. A father had a responsibility in those cultures to make sure that the children had a full grasp of every aspect of the family enterprise. And in God's case, people are the family business, namely the redemption of people, the equipping of the saints, the preparing for the future that God has for us. And so it's not a cold-hearted, dog-eat-dog type business. It's a very personal business. You can see that in Luke chapter 15, where we often refer to it as the prodigal son. But really, it is the way that these two young men reacted to a very successful family business. And the first one, the youngest one, he didn't want to wait. He was very impatient. He didn't want to wait for whatever the family had for him to receive his share of that. And he was impatient. He saw more value in the trappings of this world, the goods of this world, and the things that he could do with those things. He recognized more value in that than he did the relationship that he could have had with his father. So for him, there was more value in things than there was in value with the father, until he ran out of things. And when he ran out of things, he ran out of friends. When he ran out of friends, then all of a sudden, he found himself having to start working, and the only thing that was available was something that wasn't even meeting his needs. He was willing, you know, he really wanted to eat what the pigs were eating, and that is gross. I've been around pigs, and the way that they eat is gross. they'll eat anything and everything. And he said, all of a sudden he came to his right mind, and he remembered how his father treated his servants. Before he was fixated on his role as a son, and he didn't want to wait for his father to pass away, He wanted his stuff now. But he remembered the way that his father treated people. And that is what caused him to return. Not for sonship, but for in hopes of getting to be a servant where he would at least be treated well. And when he came back, he found that his father was looking for him and anticipating his return and was ready with open arms that when the son repented, there was provision and restoration, not just to the property, but there was restoration to sonship. There was also another son. It was the oldest son, and that son stuck around. That son continued to do his duty. That son continued to fulfill all of his responsibilities. And while this celebration was going on, he was out taking care of the family business and showed up at the house and said, "What's going on?" And he said, "Your brother has returned and your father's killed the fatted calf." And that son focused on his duty rather than focusing on his father. And you will, I will tell you as a father, there are a lot of joys that come from your children. A lot of joys. There are commercials that talk about people who were contemplating abortion at one point in time, and they didn't because they realized that it was not just a clump of cells, that it was actually a living human being. They decided not to have an abortion, which means that they not only avoided ending a life, they avoided a lot of emotional trauma that was not going to be solved by that abortion. And they instead received the greatest gift that they had ever experienced before, and that was a child. There are great, great joys. There are challenges. Being a parent is hard work. It is very difficult. You need God if you're going to parent. Listen, I as I was preparing to come over here, I was thinking, man, does God really understand us or what? He knows what it is like to be a perfect parent and still have children rebel against him. And so there are joys, but there are also challenges. And you and I are called to love our children. We're called to train them up in the not only the family business, but train them up in the fear of the Lord. We're supposed to equip them for a successful journey in their relationship with God, because God does not have grandchildren. He just has children. You don't ever get into heaven because of someone else's relationship with Jesus. You only get into heaven because you have asked Jesus to forgive you your sins and be the Lord of your life, and he has restored your right standing before God. Well, not only did the youngest son not understand his father, the oldest son did not as well. And so he refused to go in to the celebration, and the father went outside to him and he said, "You never threw a celebration for me. You never had a fat." And he said, "Son, everything I have belongs to you. But it was right for us to celebrate because this brother of yours, my son, was lost and now he's found again." And so the challenge both of those individuals had was that they didn't understand how wonderful the father was. Now, earthly fathers are never going to be perfect. Earthly fathers are going to have blind spots and shortcomings. They're going to miss the mark no matter how wonderful they are. There's still going to be times when kids don't understand their fathers and their mothers. So when we pray, we need to realize that we are praying not to a flawed human father, but we are praying to a perfect and holy spiritual father who not only began our journey in life, he has come to redeem us, and it is his desire to teach us everything that we need. He sets us up for spiritual success. Don't give God the silent treatment. You know, what happens a lot of times is if we're upset with someone, well, we don't want to talk to them. We want to cut off the lines of communication. I will say this, God longs to talk to you. He longs to make himself known to you. He longs to share his nature and his love, his wisdom. One of the things that happens whenever a holiday rolls around is that people who've had healthy relationships with either their mom or their dad, could be a grandparent or a spouse, and they had a wonderful relationship. A lot of times people will reflect around the holidays and they will say something like this: I wish I could just have one more conversation with you. And the thing about God is he's available 24 hours a day. I call my dad, I called my mother 5 days a week when she was alive, and after she passed away, he wanted us to continue that. But a lot of times I'll make the phone call and he's not available. He doesn't answer the phone. He doesn't hear it, doesn't have the ringer turned on, whatever it might be. And, you know, I may or may not hear back from him. I just keep calling. I can tell you this: if you will call upon the name of the Lord, I guarantee you he will answer. He's never too busy. You are never too low of a priority. You are always a very high priority. You are a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Don't throw the temper tantrum the elder son threw just because you don't understand something and say, that's it, I'm not going in, I'm not going to church, I'm not praying, I'm not reading my Bible. You do yourself spiritual harm. Your heavenly Father wants you to know he loves you. He wants to set you up for success. He's not going to abandon you, not going to fail you. He wants to have a conversation with you. Talk to him today. It'll be time well spent. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Waylon specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Waylon Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit waylonduff.kw. Waylon Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and the time you deserve to get your real estate purchased or sold.